entering here into week two, and the Bible says in Psalm 127:3, it says, "Lo, a children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward." So we started I suppose it turned into a series last week, which is kind of funny because I had just met with another pastor. And we had dinner and just had some fellowship and we're talking with one another. And he asked me a question. He said, "Brother Grissom," he said, "do you preach sermons in series?" And I thought, well, no, I don't really, most of the time. And then I got started last week and I realized, well, there was way too much to cover in one Sunday. And this one, lo and behold, turned into a series. And like I said last week, it's either going to take 20 minutes or 3 weeks. I wasn't sure which. Well, we're on week two. So, in case you weren't here last week, I started preaching on raising kids. Children. I had someone come up to me after service one day and provide me with some constructive feedback. I called them kids during the service, and he reminded me that a kid was a goat, and that goats are associated with the devil. In the back of my mind, I thought, well, yeah, that's about right. I really do love children. The Lord has given us an amazing things. When you see a child, you watch them grow up. Children, the Bible says, are an heritage of the Lord, right? I mean, it is a blessing to see your children, to watch them grow, to have children. The Bible says in Proverbs, it says, children's children are a crown of old men, right? And a crown of old women. My wife loves her grandkids. It's just, the glory of children is their fathers. There is nothing like watching your kids grow and turn into young adults. But that's a very difficult process, and there's a lot of things that you're going to be challenged with as you raise your kids. And it reminded me of another verse as I was kind of getting ready for this week. It reminded me of Proverbs 20, verse 7. It says this. It says, "The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him." Amen? And it kind of gives you a little glimpse at the importance of the parents' role in raising our children. I mean, "a just man walketh his integrity." The idea is, obviously, the Lord honors a parent who's trying to be just and trying to be right. And at some level, brethren, blesses your children for your attempts to do right and to walk with the Lord. I mean, your children get a head start in life just by virtue of the fact that you're trying to maintain a good testimony. You're trying to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. You're taking your children to church. You're training them in the way that they should go. You're teaching them the precepts of God. You know, okay, maybe sometimes you want to take some of those verses in the Bible and staple them on their forehead, right? Like they used to do in the Old Testament. Okay, maybe it wasn't exactly that. It was a phylactery, but they took the verses of Scripture and they had them. But the Lord, parents, blesses you when you try to make an effort to train your children in the ways of the Lord and to nurture them and bring them up in the admonition of the Lord. Amen? So it is critical. Like I said, I love children. I love my children. As you all know, my wife and I have four children, and brethren, I think it was a glory and a joy to raise those four children. All except for one. No, I'm just kidding. my wife and I, we were not the perfect parents. We would have been the perfect parents, but my wife was married to me. And that blew it right there. So this message, as I'm going through these things, this message is not about how to be the perfect parent. Because you're going to fail just like all the rest of us have failed. Amen? You're going to make mistakes just like the rest of us. So this message is not about how to be the perfect parent. This message is not even about how many mistakes you have made being a parent. Right? We all know that we've made mistakes in our parenting. And you know what? We live with that. And the Lord gets us through that. And the Lord honors us and blesses us in spite of the mistakes that we made. It is a blessing to know that the Lord can take our foolishness and turn it around and use it for good. Amen? Amen. This message is just simply about some of the mistakes that people in the Bible have made, and hopefully it'll serve as a lesson for us about things that you and I can watch as we raise our kids. Things that we're prone to make mistakes in. That is why God took the time to put those stories in the Bible, because He knew you and I would struggle with the very same things that we're addressing in this series here, and that He addresses in the Bible. If you remember, I titled this message, How to Raise a Failure. I was going to title it, How to Raise a Brat. But I was nice. So open your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Genesis number 27. Genesis chapter 27. And we'll just do a very quick review. Every time I say that, it never works, so you just have to bear with me. This may be a 6-month series, I don't know. Genesis chapter 27, I'm in Exodus. I can't even find the right book. I was at chapter 27 for what that's worth, but it didn't look anything like what I was after. Genesis 27, and we'll start off with verse 1. It came to pass when Isaac was old that his eyes were dim so that he could not see. He called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, My son. And he said unto him, Behold, here am I. And he said, Behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, thy bow. Go out into the field and take me some venison, and make me savory meat such as I love, and bring it me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. Let's bow our head for a quick word of prayer, and then we'll get into the message here. Father, we do thank you for an opportunity to gather once again on Sunday morning. Lord, I do pray that you would set me aside, that you would let the words of this book, your very words, permeate the hearts of the people that are here. Father, grant them wisdom and insight as they go about to raise their children, if they have grown children, Father, to maybe be an influence on their grandchildren, or maybe just neighborhood children. Father, if there's people here that don't have children, help us to remember that we're certainly your child, and there's principles we can learn about how you deal with us and the mistakes that you don't make and the things that you do right as you're dealing with us. I pray that you would help us to apply these lessons where they're needed. And Father, just kind of ignore where they're not needed. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we talked about this whole scenario where Isaac's getting ready to die. And of course, he calls Esau in. You know the story. He's going to bless his son Esau. The problem with that, of course, was that Esau wasn't the one that was supposed to be blessed. It's supposed to be Jacob. So Rebekah here overhears this, and she steps up. And she puts a plan into action how she can make what she knows to be right happen. Right? She heard what Isaac was going to do, and in her heart, she was trying to look out for her son. She was trying to take care of Jacob. And the excuse that she had was that, I know what's right. God is right. I know what God wants to do. And I'm going to step in and I'm going to make sure that the right thing happens, regardless of what my husband is about ready to do, that dumb jerk. Right? And she wound up subverting the authority of her husband in trying to do the right thing. Ladies, it wasn't that she was trying to do something completely out of the will of God. It wasn't like she was trying to go against God's precept. Now, she didn't do it the right way. I'll grant you that. That was the problem. But she was trying to do what was right and just. And you have to be careful. One of the mistakes that you can make as a parent, specifically here in this case, as a mother, when you're raising your children, is you can have in your mind an idea of what is right and what is good for your child. And because you're so passionate about it, because you're so set and fixed on having it come to pass, because you know best and you know what's right, you'll go about doing it the wrong way. And you'll wind up subverting, in some cases, your husband's authority. That's a mistake. I mean, she was convinced that the fact was Jacob should get the blessing. And she thought maybe the Lord would honor her way about how to go about getting that to come to pass. Doesn't happen that way, ladies. Doesn't happen. You need to be very, very careful and cautious about how you go about doing what you think is right for your child. Because we have this whole thing called emotion that gets involved in it. And emotion is a good thing. God made you that way, and you're supposed to have them, and they're there for a purpose. But sometimes it kind of clouds reason. Amen? So she wound up subverting her husband's authority. At the very least, in her mind, what must have run through her mind is, oh, no, 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 no. I'm not going to let my baby be mistreated that way. And she set about to correct what she perceived as a grave error and injustice in the way things were going. We looked at a second thing that that happened in this course of events is we saw how that her protection ruined not only her son, but others as well. She stepped in there and she had that thing set up. And you see, and Esau hated Jacob because mom was trying to protect the baby. And it caused Esau to hate Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. Esau said in his heart, the days of my mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. You understand, mom's actions caused her other son to want to kill Jacob. You got to be careful as you're raising your kids that you don't inadvertently do something to cause this kind of strife among your children. It's easy to do. It wasn't her intent. She was trying to do what was right, but she went about doing it the wrong way, and this was the result. All right? In Genesis 27, it says, when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry. She got him down as deep and hurt him as deep as he could probably possibly be hurt. And it did not turn out well. And he hated his brother Jacob. I've seen this happen too many times to count. Where moms, with good hearts and with her son's or daughter's best interest in mind, step in when some perceived injustice is happening, and they take the action of, oh, come here, baby, mommy will make it all right, I'll take care of things for you. And maybe it was an injustice. And maybe your son or daughter wasn't treated right. But you take up for them and you think, I'll just make sure that nobody ever treats you unfairly. That's just not right. Because after all, that's what Jesus would do. You mean to tell me as a Christian you've never been given a lot that was, quote, unfair? You mean the Lord never put you as an adult Christian in a position where you were treated unfairly? Well, God let that happen to you. But in her zeal to protect, she ruined the very one that she was trying to protect and a whole lot of other people around her in the process. Don't misunderstand me. I am not saying at the appropriate time, don't protect your kids. That's not what I'm saying, okay? I hope that you get the general gist of what I mean. I'm saying you got to be careful because naturally you have this overwhelming desire to make sure that that happens. And sometimes that desire overshadows what's right. That's where you got to be careful. Amen? Sometimes it is a good thing for you to step in and protect your children. You know that. The Lord put that within you because it's supposed to be there. It's supposed to be a natural part of how you raise your children. It's just like anything else that the Lord gave us naturally, like our appetites, like our passions, like our opinions, like everything else. They're all there. They're all good. We just got to be really careful with how we use them. Amen? I mean, left to ourselves would be a wreck. Well, it applies in parenting, too. I mean, Proverbs 17, you know the verse, let a bear robbed of her whelps meet a man rather than a fool in his folly. The Lord gave that natural protection to bears. It's there for a reason. It's good. But can I give you just a little bit of advice? Next time something like that happens, stop and just consider for a moment that maybe, just maybe, God is letting your child experience a situation because God's trying to teach them something. And we forget that. We get so wrapped up with being the mother bear, I'm going to protect my kid. Nothing is ever going to go wrong for the kid. That sometimes we forget God is training your child.
Amen.
Amen? So we got to be careful with that. Because if we get in the habit of doing that and being that protective of our kids, we raise the guy you saw last week. Right? And you know what the scary part is? Let's assume for a second God is trying to teach your child how to overcome adversity when he's treated unfairly. It's a lesson we have to learn as Christians. Why wouldn't your kids have to learn it? Right? Let's assume that God put your child in a situation where he wants them to learn to overcome adversity when they're treated unfairly and to have a charitable and a good attitude about it. When something bad happens, to teach them that it's okay and God can take them through a fiery trial, just like he can take you, grown adult Christian, through the fiery trial. And you step in and you take your son out of the fiery trial because you're afraid that little Johnny may get burned, and you protect him from it. And God's sitting up there going, great, I got to put him up through that whole thing all over again because he is going to learn that lesson. Right? So again, I'm not saying don't protect. It's natural instinct to protect. You should protect. You just got to be careful that you don't let that protection instinct override good lessons that God may be trying to teach. Amen? And then finally, we talked about how her relationship with Jacob caused him to fail. Again, these things are in balance. Please don't walk out of here thinking I'm, against a parent forming a strong relationship with their child. I am all for that. I think that is a critical part of raising your children. You need to develop that strong relationship with your child. But for Rebecca, that relationship became more important than following God's will. That relationship became more important than doing what she knew was right. Right? I mean, she knew Jacob should get the blessing. That's above her pay grade. She went about to subvert and lie and cheat and steal because she thought that's what should happen. Well, you don't do good by doing wrong. Right? And what she taught her son was that you should listen to mommy before you listen to God. Dangerous place for her son. Right? It's just something we have to be careful with. Again, these are all natural desires. These are all natural things that you have inside of you. And listen, kids are an expert at manipulating their parents. Now, you're going to fall into one of two camps here. You're going to say, oh, ho, 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 no, not mine, which means you're being manipulated all the time. I hate to break the news to you. Or you're going to say, yeah, they sure are, and I watch them for it, which means you're about on course, right? Don't tell me you don't do the same thing. Oh, God, if you just do this for me, I'll do this and this and this. Your kids do the same thing, right? We learned it as kids. But you have to be careful to keep your relationships in the right order. God's principles, doing right, has to come before protecting the feelings of your baby. Right? Sometimes you may have to sit down with them and have this conversation about, yes, I know your feelings got hurt, but here's why, here's how we deal with that. No, it's not fair. As opposed to going ballistic to take care of it. You just got to be careful. And you have to keep your relationship with your husband stronger so that the whole structure doesn't break down. Listen, the devil is after your kids, and he will even use the parents to ruin them if he can. Amen. So we talked about that last week. Lamentations, if you want, you can turn there. But Lamentations, I won't go through. I was going to go through and read some of it because it's it'll raise your eyebrows. But down in Lamentations 1:16, the Bible says this: "For these things I weep, mine eye runneth down with water, because the comforter that should relieve my soul is far from me." And then he says, "My children are desolate because the enemy prevailed." Because the enemy prevailed. And that's what we're trying to avoid. We're trying to raise our kids and have a good mindset about this, because we know the devil is out to get them and tear them down. And he'll use parents, he'll use friends, he'll use the world, he'll use whatever he can to tear them down and to knock them out of the race. And brethren, our job is to combat that and not let it happen, and use every ounce of strength that we can to keep them on the right track. That includes watching ourselves to make sure that we don't make mistakes. Amen?
Amen.
So the purpose of this message is really to help keep the enemy from prevailing in those things. So let's see how mom's influence helped Jacob later on in his life. So we saw a few things, that mistakes that mom made, right? But turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Genesis 37. So this event passed, and you know all the story. I don't have time to get into all the details of what happened, but time went on, and Jacob grows up. And I won't take the time to go into how Jacob went to get married, and God had to teach him about the art of deception and trying to be somebody who he wasn't, and he goes into his wife and wakes up the next morning and it's not who he thought he was. And the Lord has a way of teaching somebody those lessons. Amen? But Genesis 37, and the Bible says, well, that's what you thought your kids were like. The Bible says this. It says, "And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. The lad was with the sons of Bilhah, and the sons of Zilpha, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report." So Joseph's, Jacob's all grown up now. He's a dad. And he's raising his kids. And now one of his kids comes up to him and says, "Oh, Dad, you should have seen what those other kids did. Reuben, oh man, Judah, what a mess he was." Right? "He brought unto his father their evil report." Listen, nobody likes a tattletale. Amen? You ever seen one of your kids turn into a tattletale? Or somebody else tattletale on one of your kids? Nobody likes a tattletale. But that's what Joseph's doing. Why? What is it about Joseph at this stage in his life that he's out with his brothers and something happens and the first thing he's got, "I'm telling Mom!" "I'm telling Dad!" He runs off and tells Dad. You say, well, it's a good thing. They were doing wrong. Well, maybe they were. Okay? Maybe they were. But I seem to recall I know Matthew wasn't written back then, but the principle I'm sure was still around, that if a brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone.
Amen?
Amen? No, that's not what Joseph does. Joseph's got to run to Daddy and tell Daddy what's going on. Listen, there are two types of tattletales. Two times when that happens. One of those times is when somebody comes running to you and tells you something about your kid. "Your son Johnny, he hit Billy." Right? And the other time is when your kid comes running to you and tells you, "Mommy, mommy, mommy, daddy, 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 blah, 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 blah." How do you handle it? I mean, there are two responses that you can kind of take from that thing. Number one you can jump up and you can throw that whole protection thing into process. Dad, you can do this as well. All right? Protect your kid because my kid would never do that. How many times have you seen that? Somebody picks on your kid and then goes and tells on him. And the parent says, my kid would never do that. Really? Mine would. And so would yours. Okay? The other response you can take is you can be so worried that somebody may think ill of you, you automatically jump down your kid's throat before you really even find out what's going on. I've seen that happen too. Both of those situations are equally wrong. I remember my son always used, he was in the middle of everything. ask Aubrey. If there was something going on in church, if there was some mischief going on, he was in the middle of it somehow. Even if he didn't start it, even if he wasn't a part of it, he was just close and he always got in trouble for it. And I remember one time somebody came running in tattletaling. Robert hit whoever, I even forgot who it was. One of the other kids in church. Robert hit Billy. Robert hit Billy. Robert hit Billy. And, you know, of course, Billy's mom is standing right there. And, of course, Billy's mom is just, that Robert. He's always, Robert hit Billy. Robert hit, or pushed Billy or whatever, you know, the case was. And mom was ready to rip Robert's head off. Not my wife, the other mom, right? Because that son of yours. Well, we learned by this point in time, you better check and find out what's really going on. Because chances are there's more to the story than what you get the first 30 seconds when some young kid talks to you. Because they always give you things from his perspective. Come to find out what had happened was Billy, who was about 9, had been picking on one of the little girls, about 6, you know, kind of pestering her, picking on her, pushing at her, and Robert stepped in and shoved him out of the way. He said, knock it off, leave her alone. At which point, he comes running, you know, his sister came running in, Robert's picking on Billy! Robert's picking on Billy! Right? Well, you could have easily, as a parent, jumped down Robert's throat. Yo, who do you think you are pushing? I told you not to push kids. Why don't you keep yourself in control? You got to find out what's going on. Right? You got to find out what's going on. Proverbs 18:13 says, he that answereth the matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. Listen, something comes up, whether your kid is at fault or whether your kid is the one relaying the situation. Take time to figure out what's going on. Joseph, you know, Joseph runs up. Dad, yeah, do you know what my brothers are doing out there? Nobody likes a tattletale. You got to be careful. You got to be careful with how that's handled. I mean, your child could be right, but I know it's hard to believe. Your child could be wrong, too. Why do you think that happened? Why do you think Joseph is interacting that way? Listen, Jacob developed a relationship with Joseph like his mother had developed with him. Amen. Look at verse 3. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age and made him a coat of many colors. And we all think about that. Joseph's coat of many colors, what a great thing it was. You understand, Jacob was raised by his mother, learned how to interact by his mother, was babied by his mother, grew up to be a father, and now he's babying Joseph. And the cycle is continuing. There's more to it than just one little event. And it all started with mom wanting to do what was right. She just did it the wrong way. Right? But now Jacob has grown up. He's a dad. And he's doing the same thing with his children that was done with him. And it's causing a lot of problems. It's causing a lot of the same types of problems. Look at verse 4. When his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. You understand that cycle just perpetuated itself. Listen, his favoritism caused a fraction. Jacob's favoritism, Jacob playing favorite as a parent because he was the son of his old age, the baby. You see this happen. I mean, we joke about it in our society because it's so common. Oh, he's the baby of the family. The older brothers, the older siblings, they always look down and go, man, I never would have got away with that when I was your age. Right? Part of it is you get soft as you get older. I understand that. Made the same mistakes. I don't think I was as hard as I was on my son as I was Renee. But you look at that and you got to be careful because Jacob took it to an extreme and he set up Joseph as his favorite because he was the son of his old age. And it caused a great fraction within the family. Listen, I understand when you have multiple children, they're all different. They all have different personalities. They all have different needs. That's normal, okay? It really is. I get it. And there's truly probably one or two that you need to protect more than maybe you did some of the others. I wouldn't argue with that statement for a minute. There are some that you take more nurturing, that take more care, that take more time. I get that, but that's not what Jacob is doing. Jacob's going overboard the way that his mother did. Maybe you connect with one of your kids because their personality type is a little more like yours and you can relate to them. You're a hunter, they're a hunter, right? Yay, let's go hunting. Maybe it's your son, maybe it's your daughter. I don't know. Right? Whatever the case may be, maybe you connect with one more than the other, but brethren, you've got to be careful not to let that thing cause a fraction within the family. You got to be careful that you don't let it get out of control. Maybe you connect with one because you have common interests. Maybe you connect with one more because of the order of their birth. Maybe they're the oldest. Maybe they're the youngest. There's all kinds of things. Maybe you connect with one more than the other because they're a boy versus a girl or a girl versus a boy. Maybe they have special needs that another one doesn't need have, and you have to spend more time with them. All that is fine. I'm not saying don't give your children special attention. I'm saying give all of your children special attention. Amen? Don't neglect the other ones. And the Lord will give you wisdom if you seek it as to how much. I mean, some kids may be perfectly content with, I'm just throwing numbers out there at random. They mean absolutely nothing. 1 hour a day worth of attention. Another one may need 2 hours a day worth of attention, but it's equal. You understand? I understand there's differences. Everyone's different. Their personality is different. Their needs are different. But give all of your children special attention. Why didn't Jacob just make a coat for all of his sons? Right? Why has he got to only make one for Joseph? His favoritism caused a fraction. You may not intend to do that, but chances are really good that you do because it's so common. Your best defense against it is to be aware of it and say, yes, I have a proclivity to do this because little Johnny needs more attention. Don't forget to give the rest of them attention too. Amen? Give Johnny what he needs, absolutely. That the Lord's given you the wisdom to know that and to understand that and give Johnny everything he needs. Just make sure that you give the other ones the attention too. Don't leave them out. Listen. I ran across this. It's not what you do for your children, but what you've taught them to do for themselves that'll make them successful human beings. I mean, I know that's not necessarily Bible, but that's pretty good, right? How does the saying go? Give a man a fish, he'll eat for a day. Teach a man to fish, he'll eat for the rest of his life. Teach your children to be independent, to be strong, to follow God in their own mind, in their own right, to make their own decisions, right? Raise them that way. Joseph then has this dream. And he told it to his father and his brethren. His father rebuked him. At least his father rebuked him a little bit. That's good. And it says, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come and bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? Well, in actuality, yeah, they did. But the next verse in 37, verse 11, if you want to look at it, it says, and his brethren envied him. You see, his favoritism caused a fraction. Acts 10 says, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. You know one of the things that you can count on from God? You're all children of God. God loves all of you. You're all special to God. Amen? Amen? God may put you in different positions and have you do different things in life, but don't ever walk out thinking, well, God doesn't love me as much as he does brother so-and-so. That's not true. God is just as much interested in your well-being and your walk and your relationship with him as he is brother or sister so-and-so. Amen? Amen? God doesn't make these mistakes. We do. Right? God doesn't make these mistakes. We do. So this thing passed from Jacob on down to Joseph. I'll tell you another thing happened. Jacob's unfairness fueled the fierceness of this battle, man. Jacob got to a place where he didn't hold his son Joseph responsible for the same types of things that he held the other boys responsible for. All right? Listen, just because Joseph was the favorite doesn't mean that he automatically should have had the easy street. Take a look at 37 verse 12. And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. His brethren went. You understand, he just sent out all the boys to go working, but Joseph got to stay back. Right? You say, well, maybe he was too young. Well, I don't know. Look at the next verse, 13. And Israel said to Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, I will send thee unto them. And he said unto him, here I am. He was old enough for Joseph to send out by himself. Why wasn't Joseph out there helping his brethren with the flock? Again, Jacob allowed, because of his favoritism, because he loved Joseph more than the other ones, Jacob allowed Joseph to skip out on some work. And the other brethren didn't like it. Right? That just made them even more angry than they already were. Again, it's imperative, brethren, that protect our kids where we need to protect them. Yes. Don't ease up on them and baby them. Make them work. Make them, you know, if it's time to, and I didn't, maybe I'll use a slide, but she's not here today anyway. We had the Magasins come over and help us do a bunch of cleaning in our house we're trying to sell up north. And, you know, we were talking about, oh, which ones do you want to come up? And I'm thinking, there's nothing there for the younger ones. We have one table up there and a bed in the whole house. Everything else is just kind of, you know, tools. And I'm thinking, what are the younger ones going to do all day? Oh, well, a bunch of the younger ones came up. And so they were cleaning windows, and I had the boys, and we were hauling brush to the recycle or the compost facility and loading up trash. And we hauled a bunch of stuff. I hauled a bunch of stuff to the dump. And I got this text from my wife, and it's the youngest, the Magnuson. What's the real young one, the baby? Well, I'm sorry, what? Linnea. Yeah, Linnea. It's Linnea. And she's, how old is she? She's like one? Linnea is sitting there with this rag on the counter, and it's a picture of her wiping down the counter with this rag. I was going to put that up there, and I forgot about it because, well, Brenda's not, wasn't feeling well today, so it wouldn't have had quite as much effect as I wanted it to, but I was thinking, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. I mean, okay, she wasn't doing much, but she was doing something. Jacob let Joseph slide. And that caused even more contention than was already there. You gotta be careful that you don't let unfairness fuel that thing and make it even worse. Go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren. He was old enough to go by himself and go find them. He could have been out there helping them. Do not handicap your children by making their lives easy. I don't know who Robert Heinlein was. He may be a reprobate. I don't know. He may be a great Christian. I have no clue. But it's a good saying. It's kind of a good principle. We can make the mistake of saying, my child is special, so they don't need to do this. You know where I see that come into play a lot? Obviously, as a karate instructor, I saw that all the time. Parents come up to me and my wife, and we're looking at the kids, and we're trying to train this kid to be a black belt, to grow up, to be independent, to be strong, to be able to... Listen, black belt test, I'm sorry, but I can't take it for you. You have to take your own black belt test. I've already taken mine. I passed it, by the way. Right? You have to take your own black belt test. Mommy can't take your black belt test for you, as much as she would like to. Daddy can't take your black belt test for you. You have to take your own black belt test. That means you have to put forth the work and the effort, memorize the stuff, practice the techniques, become proficient at them, break the boards, all the things that you have to do to pass your black belt test. But you have to do it on your own. And inevitably, parents would come to me constantly, and they didn't want little Johnny to do this because it was too hard for him. Or he has ADHD, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P. ADHD is a prerequisite for a karate student, man. Give me kids with ADHD. I want the hyperactive. It's the ones that I can't get to move that I have problems with. Right? I'll take ADHD all day long, man. I can relate to them. But inevitably, the parents would come, and when Johnny hit a place where it was tough to get past this particular obstacle, parents were always trying to find a way to soften it for them. You can't do that on your black belt test. Now, just to let you know that we're not heartless, when you had, you know, let's say an 80-year-old woman testing for black belt, I didn't expect her to jump as high as a 17-year-old man. See? I'm a nice guy. You see it with coaches. How many parents complain to the coach because you treated my son unfairly. You didn't let him play. You let Johnny play more than my son. Don't do that with your kids. Show your kids that you respect that authority. And if the coach says you don't play, he's got a reason for it. Right? Maybe the coach is wrong. Maybe the coach is right. But the authority is more important. We put our son in homeschool basketball league, and the coach had developed a great team. I mean, took some homeschool kids and had a phenomenal team for a homeschool basketball team. The parents got together and fired him. You know why? He was too hard on them. They were winning. Those kids were doing great. Those kids were pulling themselves together and growing up into young men and facing adversity and getting used to the coach yelling at them when they made a mistake. And you know what it did to them? It helped them grow up. It was good. But a bunch of parents got together. We don't like the way you yell at our kids. And they booted him from being the coach. You know, I told the coach, I had talked to the coach because he coached for years. And I told him, I said, you know, Coach Matt, I said, I appreciate what you're doing. I said, I want you to know I wanted somebody else to yell at Robert, not just me all the time. He laughed. I said, you know what? He hears me yell at him all the time. He needed somebody else to yell at him. Go for it. And he did. And he had this, what's Robert, 5'8"? Maybe? Basketball player?
Yeah, right.
Right? He wound up making the starting team, that little turkey. I mean, the coach yelled at him and pushed him, and that kid wound up excelling because he was pushed and driven. Don't handicap your kids by making their lives easy. You may argue, but wait, Joseph was not a failure. You got me on that one. But wait, I got one for you. Jacob's failures cost him his fellowship. Let me say this. Jacob started treating Joseph the same way his mom treated him. It was causing problems with his brother Esau. Now it's causing problems in Jacob's family between Joseph and all his brothers. Joseph is starting to go down the same path, be a tattletale, getting out of work when he should be working. Brethren, God stepped in and took Joseph from the family. You understand, God wanted, had some lessons he needed Joseph to learn. God had a plan for Joseph, and God needed Joseph to learn some character things that it wasn't happening at home. And God took Joseph as a young, probably 16, 17, somewhere around there, teenage boy, out of the home, put him into slavery, and then into prison a couple of times, so that Joseph could learn the lessons that God needed Joseph to learn. Jacob's failures cost him his fellowship with his son. Now the blessing with all that is that God's going to deal with your children even where you and I as parents fail. Amen? Remember, God's more interested in them turning out well than really even you and I are. Because they're God's children. But God had to intercede there and take Joseph out and say, okay, I need you to go through a school of some hard knocks here for a little while. And I need to teach you some things. And God got a chance to deal with Joseph. And it was rough for a few years. It was rough for several years, okay? It was rough. But you know what? God taught Joseph those lessons in Egypt. And next thing you know, Joseph is second man in charge of everything that Pharaoh had. And God uses Joseph to deliver Jacob and all his brethren. Amen? Raising kids is critical. And I know, again, like I said, you look back, I could probably list all kinds of mistakes that I made raising our children. And so can you. If you've been a parent longer than, 6 weeks, you've blown it. Welcome to the club. It's a great club. We all members. But what you find is his brethren, come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites. And let not our hand be upon him. Well, they were going to kill him at first. Right? Jacob's failures cost him a lot of years of fellowship with his son. But it was restored. Right? Another I thought was a neat little saying. Don't raise your kids to have more than you had. Raise them to be more than you were. Amen? Listen, God is good. But apparently Joseph wasn't going to learn those lessons in the environment that he was in. But God took him. God trained him. God trained Joseph how to react and how to act when he was treated unfairly. God taught Joseph how to act when he was accused unfairly. God taught Joseph how to have patience in the midst of trial and being in prison and being forgotten about and feeling like he was all alone and deserted and destitute. God taught Joseph how to navigate through all those things that take most men or women down in life. God got a hold of Joseph's heart and got a hold of his head and took Joseph to school the way Joseph needed to be taken to school. I don't know how this would have worked out, and, you know, the Lord, far above my pay grade. But I'm just thinking it's a good idea if we as parents try to give our kids those lessons while they're at home. So maybe they don't have to go through some of the things that Joseph had to go through. Like I said, the blessing is God's still in control. God's still interested in teaching them. And God will teach them and show them and take them through. But man, the more we can do in teaching them the right lessons as they're growing up, the fewer trials Lord may have to put them through as they get older. Amen?
Amen.
Unfortunately, dads, Jacob never learned the lesson. See, why do you say that? Well, Genesis 42, all the way up later in the book of Genesis. You know the story. Joseph's in Egypt. The kids go. They get corn, blah, 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 back and forth. In Genesis 44:22, "And we said unto my Lord, the lad cannot leave his father. For if he should leave his father would die." Joseph's been gone for years. Now Benjamin's the baby. And Jacob's doing the same thing. Amen? Jacob winds up doing the same thing. I'm just saying. Parents in the Bible made these simple mistakes. And in some cases, I mean, the examples that we get, obviously, pretty extreme. The repercussions lasted for a long time. So as we raise our kids, remember, I don't want to make the same mistakes Rebecca made. I don't want us to make the same mistakes Jacob made. We can talk about others. I don't know if I'll do a third week of this or not. I may wind up moving on, but I was thinking about Samuel, David, some other folks in the Bible. But the idea is this: protect your kids, yes, but remember, God is interested in raising them and training them, and you can either help that process or get in the way of that process. Our job as parents is to help that process, right? So let's do the right things. Be careful about jumping to conclusions. Be careful about, protect them, yes. Be careful about not letting that get to the point where your protection actually causes you to do something wrong. And again, it's a hard lesson to learn. But brethren, your kids need to be strong in this world that we're facing right now. They need to be strong. They're not going to survive. Or God's going to have to teach them some other way. Okay? God will teach them. But don't fail. Don't fail to do your part as a parent in helping teach them as well. Amen?
Amen?
We'll kind of finish up with this. I thought this was very interesting. Don't mix between my personality and my attitude. Because my personality is me. My attitude depends on you. I thought that was pretty good too. Amen? Parents, the influence you have over your children is incredible. Use it for good, and you'll produce some great kids. And those kids will be able to carry on Christianity, if the Lord tarries for another generation or two, be able to carry it on once we're gone. Amen? And that's what we're after.